When we share someone's story here on the Diaries, the episode might end, but their story doesn't. So many of the people we've talked to, they've gone on to do incredible things. They have epic adventures and make significant impacts in our community. Over on Diaries Plus, we're catching up with some of our former guests to see what they've been up to. I recently sat down with Connor Ryan, a Lakota professional skier from our Sacred Slopes episode, who's been knocking out groundbreaking projects ever since the episode aired. It's really incredible. We had a great discussion about the impacts he's made, what keeps his fire burning, and taking ski lessons as a pro skier. Here's a snippet of the conversation.
All the source of joy that I use to fill my cup to be out in the world doing positive things comes from my relationship to the outdoors. And so I've really focused on like, wow, like there's so much power if I can give one person the relationship to the outdoors that I have through skiing. And maybe that will have as profound of an effect on them as it's had on me.
To listen to the full episode, use the link in the show notes to subscribe to Diaries Plus today. Yeah, you get more shows, but you also have a peace of mind of powering what's out there right now, keeping us moving forward, keeping this community together. So thank you for everyone who supported and everyone who's going to support. We appreciate it. What are you doing for the holidays, Cord? They're coming up.
The holidays
to your family
are upon us, yes. We are going to be in Laramie, my hometown, to spend Christmas with my parents and my brothers and the whole Czar's clan, which is, it's been a while. I mean, we've had times when we're all together, but we actually haven't spent Christmas all together in quite a while, so that'll be exciting.
I feel like you guys are close, right?
We are close.
Like, you're all, like, pretty tight.
Yeah. We're tight in, like, yeah, both a really beautiful and a very explosive way at times.
That's so interesting. It's funny. Like I see that with my boys. Mm-hmm. You know, they're magical to watch right now. Like, it truly is, like, whether it's the things we do outdoors, whether it's, like, the raft trips, or whether it's just, like, you know, sometimes I'll be, like, doing dishes and look out the window, and we had this garden that we planted for a while that just stopped working for whatever reason, and now it is the truck digging zone.
Yes.
Complete with like shovels.
Yes.
And it's amazing, and I'll just see them out there and they can spend 4 hours together just in unison, and I wonder if it'll last.
Well, yeah, I feel like sibling bonds are really special and powerful in ways that are kind of hard to explain, like the Click and Clack brothers on NPR. I could listen to them for hours, and I'm not interested in cars in any way, but like just hearing them riff off of each other and crack up at each other's jokes, like it really puts a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Or like Fred and George Weasley, by far favorite characters in all of Harry Potter, like any scene that they're in, want to reread. And like Even famous athletes, like you think about Venus and Serena Williams, and like there's something about their...
They're incredible.
Yeah, yeah, like their shared bond and like their shared childhood that pushed them to become what they were. And neither of them, I don't think, I mean, I don't know that much about their lives, but I think they are in a large part who they are because they're sisters and because they played tennis together their whole lives. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like we love examples of siblings that are in lockstep like that. And like just seeing a bond that brings out the best in you or the worst in you, like whatever it is, it's pure. And I think maybe we all have an ideal of what our sibling relationships can look like, those of us that have siblings, and we gravitate towards examples of those in our lives or in books, because there is something powerful about that bond, like even more powerful than a close friendship. But I don't know how common it is that we have a sibling that we can turn to and say, you're also my best friend in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, families, it's complicated. There's history and expectations and baggage and a lot of love, which doesn't always make friendship easy. Well, if you've been listening to the Dirtbag Diaries for the past 6 years, you've heard a lot about my family. I wrote a short years ago about the suffer marches my dad used to take us on as kids, I wrote a feature about my mom's epic middle school bike trip from Alaska to California with her science teacher. And although their voices have made a cameo appearance on the Diaries, today I want to introduce you to my brothers.
Get ready, buckle up, because this is a sibling pair you'll never forget. I'm Fitz Cahal.
I'm Cordelia Zars.
You're listening to the Dirtbag Diaries. Okay. This is Levin. He's in his late 30s and
this is gonna take days. This is Tilden. He's somewhere around 25. He's been a semi-avid biker for the last 5 years. And on off again, an on and off again relationship with bikes.
They're 5 years apart. Levin's older. They live two doors down from each other in Golden, Colorado, and can always be found together, most often on their mountain bikes. That is, if you can catch them. They're gnarly fast, fearless, and graceful, and they're always chugging half a mile ahead of you on the trail, shit-talking. As you, well, I'll just say I, wheeze my way up the hill behind them. If I do catch them, they're probably demoing some insane line off the side of the trail, up stumps and across boulders I wouldn't even walk on. And just laughing raucously the entire time. This is Tilden.
I guess I've always sort of followed Levin's lines on, like, everything. Even when we were kids scrambling around in the rocks in the mountains or anything like that, I would always follow them, but since I was littler, I could never quite do them. And so then I'd find, like, other ways around, and that sort of is still the same way of how we ride. Like, I would say I follow quite a bit more, but I really enjoy that because then I can see what lines he takes and then what lines I'll take. It's just super fun because it's like it's almost like a reflection of who we are outside of biking that comes through in just the riding.
And it's true. Watching these two ride, you get a sense of who they are just by following their movements through terrain, which I guess is what we can all strive for as athletes, that our craft becomes a creative means for expressing our personality. But with Levin and Tilden, it's not just a performance of two individual athletes expressing themselves. Their styles have formed around each other. It's a duet.
Holy s***!
But they'll describe their synchronicity much more bluntly.
So Levin's style is his whole idea. Probably style, life, motto, everything sort of all bundled into one is more speed helps everything. And so the way Levin rides is just, I'm not trying to discount his balance or his skill or anything like that, but he just hits everything really fast. And it works. No, and not with grace.
Buddy, my God. A decade of trying undone in one comment.
Tilden's style is, he's really good at following, which has sort of led him down the path of pure plowing. And he just smash into things, mostly following me in my terrible lines of smashing things. I feel like just judging by our wheels' roundnesses, because Tilden's wheels shaped about like an egg.
Yeah, Levin's definitely more graceful and lands more smoothly, and
I didn't really realize that to that extent until I've watched some videos back, and you see mine, and there's not enough camera stabilization in the world to smooth out the jars. And then you watch Levin's, and it's like an airplane landing just beautifully. And I'm like, oh, good God.
To me, it's all incredible. A total tour de force in strength, balance, and execution. They make it sound like they're just chundering through the woods, but their agility is honestly mind-boggling. For example, a few summers ago, my dad, Levin, and I biked up Mount Evans, a 14,000-foot peak outside of Denver. And as I pedaled as hard as I could on my road bike, Levin kept pace with me on his full-suspension mountain bike, riding uphill in a wheelie. On a casual ride around the park, Tilden will get bored and take a creative line, hopping up onto picnic tables from a standstill and then hopping down. Like his bike is a freaking pogo stick. And somehow their bodies work together in space, chasing each other around corners, launching off jumps, weaving in and out of trees in perfect rhythm. As if on their bikes, they're finishing each other's sentences just as much as they do in conversation.
That's my boy. That's a tired rim, Jeremy Cream.
Oh, dude, I'm smoked.
Well, this bond didn't come from nowhere. It's been a lifetime in the making.
Well, my earliest memory was without Tilden, but it was with our dad. And Reed had got me this, like, 5-speed bike that he swore up and down was just a mountain slayer. And he drugged me up this death trail in Lake Tahoe. And he was so proud of himself because he's ramming up this stuff. And I'm like a mile behind. Bike chains off. Like, I can't get up a single hill. It's like the deepest sand of all time. I swore I would never mountain bike again after that ride. Straight up. It was terrible.
We call our parents by their names. Our dad is Reed.
What I remember first is mountain biking. Well, it's not really mountain biking. It was just road biking on a dirt road on, I'd say, a very similar 5-speed bike that was completely hammered. And we would ride from our cabin over to see Cal and Penny. And Reed convinced us for years that it was only 5 miles, when in reality it's 8. So he's off by nearly half. And every time that we would go over there, regardless of what the weather app ever said, it would rain. And so then we'd have a horrible bike over battling the rocks and the washboard and all the dust, and then be an even worse ride on the way back in the mud pushing the bikes. And Reed came up with a couple of real clever deals, like hooking bungee cords to me so I could keep up and things like that, but I also was not a huge fan of biking.
Those kind of trudges made Levin and Tilden take biking into their own hands. Together, they started setting up obstacle courses for themselves in the yard. 2x4s balanced on fence posts, cinder block jumps, ramps, anything that added some thrill to the sport. At our cabin in Northwest Colorado, somehow their Bridge of Terror, a sketchily built bridge connecting 2 rock slabs, is still standing today. A relic of the hours they spent as kids, honing their balance, egging each other over bigger and bigger hurdles, and hoisting each other up after a fall.
We've got a lot of shared experiences, and a lot of them as kids were pretty difficult or like real challenging. Like, we get stuck out in a snowstorm or something, and every time I always felt as though both Reed and Levin, they would both have my back no matter what. And so I've got a real level of trust that, like, I can push myself potentially harder or further than I would normally because I've know Levin's got my back with
whatever it is all the time.
And with that trust came risk. When we were about 12, 10, and 7, our parents bought a pair of family tandems. We rode those every summer on the Tour de Wyoming, a week-long 500-mile ride around the state. I rode with my dad, my mom pedaled a solo road bike, and Levin and Tilden cranked out the miles as a team.
We were going down that pass off the Bighorns, into like 10 sleep or something.
Yeah.
And, well, our father wasn't big into speed. He liked to get up to about 40, but I was the captain of this tandem, and I was dead set on getting her up to 60 or 70. And so both Tilden and I are pretty much laid down on this tandem on the highway.
No.
You were for a bit, buddy.
I held on until about 50, and then I was like, oh, God, we're coming up on this minivan pretty quick. And so I went all up into full parachute mode, unzipped my jacket to try and increase the wind resistance to get him to slow down, and it did basically nothing. And then Levin blows this minivan's doors off. Because I don't have any brakes or anything on the back, so I'm just along for the ride. Sort of like the old ladies on the Harleys. Just blows this van's doors off going down this hill. Double yellow blind corner. Going like,
well, I didn't know what that meant. I was only 12.
And then he hollers back. He's like, buddy, we did it. We got to 68. And then there was like, just right after that, there was this spot that we were told to like stop and wait for everybody at this little waterfall area. And we were going 68 miles an hour, and we see this sign like 100 yards ahead. And Levin just locks up both the brakes. And on the V brakes, not much happened other than that they just started smoking.
Oh.
And ripped through about half the brake pads, peeled into that little deal, and then was like, oh, buddy, we better get these cooled off before Reed sees this.
The water bottles onto the brake pads.
If you didn't catch that, they poured their water bottles onto their brake pads before Reed noticed they were smoking.
I always assumed that I was old because I've always felt old. But I saw a picture of that, of us two on that tandem. And I am actually 12 and Tilden is 7.
Oh, yeah. It was horrifying.
Around those switchbacks.
Oh, yeah. And like, at some point during that, I was just embraced the fact that we were probably going to get smoked by a semi or something. So I was like, all right, well, I just got to do whatever I can to like help make us around the corner. So then I was like, oh, I guess I'll just lean as best as I can because I can't do anything on the back. But in some way, I did trust him a bit. So I was like, nothing bad ever really happened. And Cord was the only one who ever wrecked me on the tandem.
I knew this was gonna
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
When they weren't riding bikes together, Tilden and Levin fought. A lot. I mean, they're brothers. They're similar in a lot of ways. Big personalities, strong athletes, smart and fierce. And so their battles were frequent and pretty intense. But for some reason, biking became a zone of neutrality.
It was one of few things that we would do that wouldn't end up in some sort of brawl or fight of some sort.
The trampoline was contentious.
Yeah, the trampoline got a little bit out of hand. Croquet was also a nightmare.
Oh, just a real fire starter.
Ping pong got a little heated.
Yeah.
And then it turned to sting pong and then paddle throwing. And, yeah, but for whatever reason, biking never got as heated and hasn't.
Yeah. And it was one of those things like,
that we would all just do as a family, like, the whole time. We'd be out road biking, or we'd come up with some idea that we had to do heat training that day, and it'd be 90 degrees, and we're out there for 4 hours as little children. So, yeah, it was definitely, like, a common bonding ground, where we all suffered through or enjoyed it together.
So although we all pursued a lot of different outdoor activities growing up, like Nordic skiing, running, school sports, biking was something that always brought our family back together. And so as they got older, Tilden and Levin gravitated more and more towards mountain biking as a way to connect.
Levin's kicked it all off by mowing lawns and whatever all summer to buy the stump jumper that then got me on my first mountain bike ride.
Yeah. Me and my best childhood friend, we decided that we were going to buy mountain bikes. And it was just like, all of a sudden, both of us were all in on this. I worked like 3-4 jobs that summer, lied about my age to work at a dishwashing place on campus, and like bought this $2,000 bike when I was like 15 or something, I think. And that just kickstarted it all. Then it was like all in on a mountain biking, and I rode that thing so much everywhere around town. Had no idea how to work on it, so I bought this actually wildly out of my price range vehicle and just destroyed it. I remember taking it to bike shops, and they'd be like, yeah, you should probably like work on this or this, or like we can do this, and it'll be like $80. And I was like, well, I don't have $80, so I just keep riding it into the ground. And rode that thing just to its death for like 8 years.
Tilden also got a bike and joined the middle school mountain bike team. He raced in Wyoming and Colorado and rode with Levin when he could. They rampaged around our local trails, built jumps at the dirt hills in Laramie, and shit-talked each other into trying harder and scarier feats. They got good fast. But as Levin neared the end of high school, their 5-year age difference became more pronounced. With all of us getting older, we stopped riding the Tour de Wyoming every summer, stopped taking family trips and long rides. We all kind of wanted to do our own thing. It was that time of life when family started to feel claustrophobic. You know how it goes. So when Levin got into Colby College in Maine for Nordic ski racing, he and Tilden began drifting apart.
At least for me, it was sort of like I just left. Mm-hmm. And then I was gone. I had a whole different set of friends and people doing different things, like racing Nordic skis. And I was all the way across the country. And then I came back and was in Laramie for a bit. And we hung out then. But it was never like we were that close again, even after that.
With Levin and me on the East Coast for college, Tilden muscled his way through high school in Laramie and then moved to the western slope of Colorado to become a welder. He wanted to try new things and figure out who he was away from biking and skiing and everything else that defined the Czar's family dynamic.
I wasn't really into getting any sort of exercise. I just wanted to work, and that was about it.
After his time in Maine, Levin moved to Bozeman.
And we were basically the same distance away as Maine because it's so far. Mm-hmm. And I did my own thing up there. And so it was sort of more like, well, at least for me, I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm out of here. He's doing his own thing. He's got his own friends, and I've got my own friends. And I just was like, yeah, I'm sort of absent. So, and then it just felt like I didn't really know him, and yeah, it was weird for sure.
After the break, the trip that brought the Czar's brothers back together. Stay with us.
Calling all business owners out there.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Our planet needs businesses to be better. Newsflash, right? There's a way we do that. One of the moments in our journey as a company that Becca and I are most proud of is the day we joined 1% for the Planet 14 years ago. We know we have an impact. It's undeniable, right? It's not someone else's problem, it's our problem. And we wanted to become a part of a global network of individuals, businesses, and environmental not-for-profits driving real impact. So every year there's a day where we sit down and we plan our giving. It starts with a donation, but we've been able to bolster that with in-kind donations. There's all sorts of ways to do this. Other companies give employee volunteer time, so there's a solution that's right for you. The biggest thing is it connects us with others who care and organizations going to bat for the values we believe in. And it makes us feel part of something bigger than our small company. So if you're a business owner, big or small, publicly traded or not, there's room for you in this movement. Visit 1percentfortheplanet.org/dirtbagdiaries for more information. Be a part of this. We may have more than one career, but there is only one planet. 1% for the planet.
In 2016, Reed invited Tilden and Levin on a bikepacking trip on the White Rim Trail in Moab with our Uncle Buzz, Reed's brother. It's a 100-mile loop in canyonlands through expansive desert terrain with about 5,000 feet of vertical. Tilden and Levin had barely talked for 6 years. Levin had his whole scene up in Bozeman, and Tilden had essentially quit all outdoor pursuits and was welding fences in Hayden. Their close childhood friendship had all but faded away. So the bike trip idea came out of the blue.
Well, so it was honestly neither of our ideas because we didn't want to be together.
We definitely weren't seeking each other out at all.
Like, no.
We'd call each other on the phone every now and again, and that was it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Reed wanted to go do the White Rim in Moab, which is the most god-awful trail in the world's greatest mountain bike place. Picks a road to ride for 100 miles. Anyhow, so yeah, we were both like, well,
what? Try and make that sound a little more glorious than
well,
that.
Well, I mean, it's beautiful, but as far as riding in Moab, that is just, rough.
But both of them said, what the heck? Seems like a good adventure.
We were doing it as a bikepacking thing, so we, you know, you got your sleeping bags and whatever all bungee corded on your bike. And I was on like a 6-inch enduro bike that is not meant to pedal at all, was horrible at pedaling. And Tilden was on Squirt and Betty, my old bike that was had leaked oil out of every possible orifice and was on the verge of death the entire time. And we show up and our uncle just brings a huge, like, 5-pound bag of spinach and, like, a pound and a half of almonds. And this man takes off out the start gates just with fire. He is hauling. We were like, well, okay, yeah, this first day is, like, it should be pretty easy. It's, like, 30 miles out of 100 or something. The second day is going to be the rough one because you got to climb all the way back out of the canyon. And Buzz ended up pretty much torching himself in that first 18 miles. So he limped her into camp, slept for the night, and then we start going that next day. And within the first mile out of 70, Buzz was done. The almonds had run their course. The spinach had gone bad. It was a rough time for him. And so, yeah, Tilden and I rode together for that. And then Reed was eventually just like, well, I got to stay back with your uncle. So then Tilden and I blasted out of there. Like, it was full pace just trying to get out of Canyonlands. Like, I don't think any of us had phones or anything. So, like, my girlfriend was sitting at the top at camp, like, waiting for us to get back on this completely botched White Rim voyage. And I was like, well, I just got to get out of here. So eventually, like, Tilden with zero training hung with me for like 30 miles of absolute sprinting, which the man just, it doesn't matter what shape his body's in, his head will force it into shape. So he had not ridden a bike in years and somehow managed a full cross-country sprint pace with me for 30 odd miles. Like, it was mayhem.
But anyhow, yeah, got up there and then sent Lauren down with Tilden's truck to go pick up the wreckage on the rim. I stayed at camp, so buddy, you gotta take the rest of that one, because I don't really remember what happened.
Well, I don't really remember either.
The biblical bonk.
Oh, yeah, so I got... I had really nailed in the diet.
During your years off of exercise?
No, 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 for the ride.
Chef Boyardee?
Yeah, so I had packed myself a couple of cans of canned ravioli. But what they don't tell you is that canned ravioli is a royal pain in the ass to try and eat when you don't have a fork or a spoon because you're trying to save weight.
Can!
And so, anyway, I hammered a couple of cans of ravioli into myself after I had bonked real bad. And that brought me back for another couple miles, but of the 70, I was probably only like 45 in. And then I was sort of dipping in and out of being able to remember why or where I was going. And so then I remembered that there's this great little plant in Moab called Mormon tea.
Mormon tea is a brushy plant that grows in Utah and is traditionally steeped in hot water to make a medicinal tea.
So I started eating that shit by the handful.
Oh, God. Okay, so the only food you brought on the entire trip was two cans of ravioli?
No, I think I had three cans of ravioli and then some, like, maybe... I think I had some cookies, but I definitely demoed the cookies on the first day, so they were useless on the second. And so I ran out of food, too, but... Anyway, yeah, so I started hammering the Mormon tea into myself in a desperate bid for just a little bit of that amphetamine that it's got in it. Because I was like, I knew I was cratering fast, but I was like, I will be goddamned if Buzz beats me out of this f***ing canyon. So anyway, I was completely devastated. And then, yeah, Lauren came down in my truck. And that was one of the most relieved moments of my entire life, is when I seen a little white lightning coming down the road. And I knew it was that because the headlights were very distinctive. And I was like, oh, thank God I got a 5-gallon jug of peanut butter cookies in the back. And so I went and laid down on the floorboards in the truck, like crumpled into the floorboards, and just hammered like 2-3 gallons of cookies into myself.
With Tilden collapsed in the back, Levin's girlfriend Lauren continued driving down the road until they found Reed and Buzz. They picked them up and drove them back to camp to reunite with Levin. After that fabled White Rim expedition ended, Tilden and Levin camped in Moab with some friends for the rest of the week.
Woo! I'm gonna ride it out! Yeah, buddy!
Like, that was, honest to God, the first time that I really even ever rode Moab, aside from the White Rim that I'd done with Reed before. And so, like, we'd never really done riding like that in our lives, and it was... Both of us just click with Moab. I don't know what it is about it. Like, both of our styles, like, they're a little different on a bike. Both of them are just 100% in Moab. There's huge rocks. There's just sliding over things. There's sand. There's snakes and crypto. And it's an outrageous landscape. You're on cliff edges. You're riding the most outrageous terrain that you can ride on a mountain bike. And then... Like, that sort of hollowed ground for us and our relationship. Like, it all started in Moab, and it's just every chance that we can get, we sort of go to Moab, and it's like rekindling of the fire.
Excellent work, sir.
After years of radio silence, Tilden and Levin were back on the same wavelength.
When we actually got back together, it was like, oh my God, this is, if he wasn't even my brother, like, this would be the greatest friend that I ever had. That one Moab trip, it was just like, I'd trust Tilden to the end of the earth. Like, I know no matter what, he'd be there. And it wasn't like I missed it during the time when we weren't together. But I would miss it extremely bad now.
When I got back and rode with Levin, it was exactly what he just said. It was an amazing time. And it made me realize, like, oh my goodness, like, this dude's awesome. That was super fun. There's just something there that's not, I don't know, you can't replicate that at all. And so then after that, yeah, we put in a lot of time and effort into riding together as much as we could, even if we were pretty far apart.
They rode Teton Pass, Gooseberry, Moab, and found new places midway between Colorado and Montana to camp for a weekend. Eventually, Tilden moved up to Bozeman as well, where they lived together, worked together, and mountain biked every day. The adventures piled up. The inside jokes, the memories, the sends, and the epic crashes. If you can't tell from the tape, they even have their own accent of sorts, which is not from any geographic location or dialect. It's just Tilden and Levin being Tilden and Levin. They navigate life's ups and downs together with a kind of comic irreverence that makes it hard to take anything too seriously. Even though they're incredibly talented bikers, there are no fancy bike kits. All their gear is torn up and duct taped together. Levin normally sports a mullet, and Tilden exclusively bikes in jean cutoffs. They drink gas station coffee. And the most common way they show affection is through a steady stream of insults. This past summer, Tilden quit his job in Bozeman and moved down to Golden to be with Levin. Now that they live on the same block, there's hardly a minute they don't spend together. The other night I gave them a call, and they were engrossed in the construction of a Lego tank on Levin's dining room table. They call each other on their drives home from work to complain about the Denver traffic. And if the sun is shining and they're not at work, you can bet your money they're out pedaling.
Oh, terrified.
Pretty chill though, huh?
No.
We'll always be looking for different stuff that none of the other people that we're riding with will want to ride. And so if I'm riding with them, like, most of the time I'm not like, oh yeah, I'll just ram, jam, and cram up this thing because I know no one else will. But if I'm riding with Tilden, I know no matter how ridiculous of a line it is, if it ends in some cactus or whatever and it's just like some terrible little rock thing that is completely unnecessary, both Tilden and I will be there trying it. And so then, you know, we're off frigging around in the bushes and hopping over things, and it ends up being a completely different ride than if I ride with really anyone else.
I always blow all my energy on the climb, too. Just right out the gate, I'm like, oh, you know what would be really cool is if I go over this, like, completely unnecessary route on the other side. And we do that, like, quite a bit, and it's kind of competitive, but not really. Like, if Levin does it, then I'll do it, or try it, anyway. And then if I do it, Levin will do it. And we kind of keep score in a joking way. We have this, like, trials scoring that we do, but it's completely inaccurate. And You can get ones, threes, and fives in trials, and whether we make it or not, it's just a one or a zero. If you make it, you get a zero, and then if you don't, you get a one. And then we just yell that whoever got a one, and then we completely forget about the score.
And then arbitrarily make up a winner at the end.
Yeah.
And it's mostly by yelling.
Oh!
Heel clickers! Heel clickers!
They make each other better riders. There's no question about it. There's something so unique about their deep trust, their shared history, and that brotherly banter that makes that kind of improvement possible.
My friends have all been really good riders, but a lot of times I would end up, you know, maybe being slightly faster or doing slightly more technical things or something like that, or seeing lines that then they would be like, oh, no way. And Tilden is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do it. And, like, there's always been a little bit of a gap, I think, between, like, what we can do and sometimes what our friends can do or are willing to do. And when it's both of us, then we're on the same page. It's pretty rare to have a time when we're not on the same page, though.
Yeah.
For sure. We're definitely pretty clued in with each other and are willing to ride the same thing, willing to push to the same kind of level nowadays, especially.
Yeah.
And that's really fun too, because then you can, it's always been that kind of like challenging each other a little bit, but
yeah,
it's in good heart and both just trying to get better. And cause I really believe the better you get, the more fun you can have. And so there's no limit to that. And so it's really fun to be able to do that with somebody who wants the exact same thing. And I feel like Levin's got that. And that is great because honestly, as soon as you have that kind of positivity, it makes so many more things possible. Where if you're with somebody, riding with somebody who's like not into it, you won't try it.
Yeah.
And we can, yeah, like feed off of each other's energy. Because he'll see different lines, I'll see different lines, and we'll both try each other's. And then it just works out real well to be able to expand our skills together, too.
Recently, Levin and Tilden started a shared Instagram account. It's called Czars MTB. So after a lifetime of absolutely hating social media, they embarked on a bid for Instagram fame.
Well, so there are two different factors here. On one side, you have your hatred of the internet.
Firm, still.
Steadfast in my belief. And then on the other side, you have your hatred of going to work every day.
More steadfast.
And that one's kind of growing. I just decided, like, if we're gonna bike a lot, which we do anyway, and then if there's a way that, like, one, that we can share it with people and get other people interested in biking, because it's super fun and it's a great time. And then two, literally anything that would help me to pay for bikes or anything that we could do.
We have very little strategy. So what we've gone ahead and done is watched absolutely zero tutorials on how to make videos and just did a crash course in it. Pretty much slapped all sorts of actual trash up on the internet. And with the full assumption, as soon as we posted it, that one was gonna go viral.
You can see my heartbeat pounding this GoPro out of the stress.
The Instagram videos, as silly as they are, have been a fun way for the rest of us to see the Czars brothers in action. None of us can keep up with them, either on a bike or in banter, so essentially having a TV show of their antics keeps us in the loop. And for Levin and Tilden, sharing their sibling bond with the world has cemented their dedication to spending their lives together.
I feel like now that we're together again, like, it'll be hard for me, like, if I was like, oh yeah, I gotta move out of town or something. If he couldn't go, that would be devastating for me. I'd do whatever I could to get him to go or stay here, stay with him, whatever. So, yeah, it's sort of a ride or die approach. And like, it'd be terrible for me.
At the end of our interview, I asked them if they wanted to say anything to each other.
Well, bud, I've been meaning to get something off my chest for a while now, and I guess this is the time.
Really have not enjoyed riding with you, and most of this has been a goddamn farce.
All your trail tips have been absolutely horrible.
No, it's been great. It's revitalized my love of biking, for sure, to be able to ride with you all the time. And it's incredible. I have learned a ton. You're way more skilled on the slow speed trials hopping, and I'm just trying to catch up, which is weird for me to be on my heels on a bike. And you put me there pretty quickly, so I think it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been having a great time too. It's just super fun, and it's pretty special to have a friend and a brother that's this awesome that you can ride with all the time that lives two doors down. It's just a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Levin and Tilden, for sharing your story. The Czars brothers can now be found skidding along snowy trails, and since the White Rim trip, Uncle Buzz has become a mountain biking sensation with multiple podium finishes in the last 5 years. Way to go, Uncle Buzz. Music today from Vespertine, Soft Light, Bradley Carter, John Barry, Brian Bombadil, and Brennan O'Connell. The tracks are courtesy of the Artists or Track Club. Jacob Bain and Nice Cotto composed our theme song. You can find the links to the artists at our website, dirtbagdiaries.com. This episode was produced by Cordelia Czars, Becca Cahal, and Ashley Langholz. Illustration by Walker Cahal. Becca Cahal is our executive producer. I'm Fitz Cahal, and you've been listening to the Dirtbag Diaries. Thanks for tuning in.